If you would stand for the reading of God's Word today from the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the seventh verse. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Touch our hearts, O Lord, with this your word, and touch the hearts of America. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Well, the president has asked us to pray for the people in Texas, and I have been praying for them, and I know many, many of you have been praying for them. Do any of you all have friends in the area that's suffering that devastation? Anyone here? See several hands. We want to just touch you personally. Many years ago, when I was ministering in Honolulu, there was a Pacific hurricane developed. It's called a Niki, and it was a Category 5 hurricane. In fact, it was the most powerful hurricane there had ever been measured until one a few years later hit in Nicaragua. And my mother, whom we all call Granny, saw that storm coming towards us, and she started to pray. And just as it got to Honolulu, if it had hit Honolulu, it would have been unbelievable death toll, because so thickly populated and so near the ocean. But just as it got to Honolulu, it turned. It just barely swept us. But it did hit the island of Kauai, dead center. Now, thankfully, there were only a few lives lost. And a couple of them were suicides of people that could not handle the devastation. But shortly after that storm hit, my deacons met with me and they said, Gerald, we want you to take this and go. We've arranged to get you an airplane ticket over there. They were hard to get. And we want you to go represent our church in ministering there. And I had a pastor friend and I contacted him. And he said, we can use all the help we can get. And he said, can you bring us some fresh water? There's no water for the babies. It's safe. That storm had damaged over 70% of the homes on that island. Broke every single power pole on the island. So I had these two big suitcases back when you could carry as big a suitcase as you wanted. My son, oldest son, said that the baggage crews always dreaded to see us go anywhere. But we filled that with water, and I flew over, and the devastation, unbelievable, the pain in people's eyes, the not knowing what to do. And at this little church, we set up a care center as best as we could. One of the stores donated all the meat they had because there's no way to cool it. We cooked it. People ate like kings for a few days, and then it was government rations after that. But the personal pain that people experienced of people that had worked all their lives to get a home, and it's expensive to do that. And a lot of these people I was working with were plantation workers. They didn't have a lot of money. And the sorrow of that, the life just being turned upside down. But the opportunity to help firsthand was a blessing to me. I mean, I was sad, deeply sad. But in the evening, the old Hawaiians would gather outside that church where it was one of the few shelters around. We had probably 200 people staying in a facility that wasn't designed nearly for that many. I slept outside on the porch, and the mosquitoes ate me up because of all that rainwater. Next trip back over to get supplies, I brought back a poi that they, but also brought back a mosquito netting. But to see the desperate need. But I want to say that the suffering of those people, while is just as deep, numerically it pales to what's happened in Texas. I read this morning of a mother fighting to get through the floodwaters, and her infant baby was swept out of her arms. Gosh. Can you imagine what that mother is going through? And that loss of life, I promise you, will go up as the waters go down. And people are faced, most of them didn't have flood insurance, most of them didn't have the means to provide the kind of protection they'd need from that situation. And it's hit every race and every economic class. You know, North Carolina puts up monuments to politicians and others, and not that they don't, some of them deserve it. But God blessed this state by raising up a man that has blessed the world, Dr. Billy Graham. And Dr. Billy Graham, through his children, all of them North Carolinians, has continued to bless the world. His son Franklin, who was one of his wild childs, every family has those. My family had two of them. My father, my boys were really good boys, but Franklin was touched by the Lord and has dedicated his life to helping others. And the thing I know about him is, I know people that work for him. His money is used not to enrich himself or his staff, but to help others. If you look at their margin of overhead, it's exceedingly small when compared to something like the Red Cross. And there's nothing wrong with the Red Cross. Today's message is a little different. Today's message is a call to all of us to show mercy towards those fellow Americans that have lost so much. If you were in that situation, you wouldn't know what to do. And it's my prayer that the American churches will have a great outpouring of compassion towards the people that are suffering down there. You know, we live in a coastal region. Even this area is affected, but we could be next. I don't know what Irma's going to do. Hope she just turns out to sea. Irma's a storm you may not have heard about. This may be a Category 5 that could hit North Carolina. But we never know, but I hope there's a great outpouring of compassion and of help. And one of the things I like about Dr. Graham's ministry, and there are other good Christian ministries as well, one of the things that I like about his ministry is that everything they do, they make sure that people know that it comes in the Spirit of Christ and in His name. I always remind people that Jesus promises to bless those who give even a cup of water to His followers, that they're to give that cup of water in His name. And whatever the church does, it must do in His name. And so the deacons have chosen Samaritan's purse as an opportunity for you to give and give it in Jesus' name. Because what do we want people to do? You know, when I do something good for people or kind for people, I don't do it very often. I'm pretty stingy and all that. But when I do it, they'll thank me, and I'll say, "Don't thank me. Thank the Lord Jesus." Because you see, when I walk away, I don't want them to think, "You know, Gerald's a swell guy." I want them to think, "Gerald has a wonderful Savior." And I think that we need to do that, and that's why when the church gives, we don't give to general funds, I hope. But I hope we give it to those who have a specific commitment to Jesus Christ, and we'll make that clear. Blessed are the merciful. Jesus said, if you want to receive mercy, whether it's forgiveness for sins or help and assistance, you need to show mercy. You know, that's one of the unique things about our Christian faith, is that we don't just show mercy to those that we know or who we think deserve it, but we show mercy to everybody. But it's going to be a wonderful thing, you know, if a Muslim or an atheist or an agnostic receives help down there in Texas, and it's given from a Christian organization in the name of Christ. You know, we're about changing the world. That's one of the ways you change the world. But I just want to encourage you today that the Lord blesses those, truly blesses those that bless Him. But how do we bless Him? We certainly bless Him with our tongues. But we bless Him and honor Him by what we do. You know, I like the Apostle James. He's kind of one of those guys that just bang, to the point. And he told the church in the New Testament times, and it's certainly true today, he told the church in the second chapter of James, he said, you know, if your brother comes to you naked and hungry, and you just bless him and then go on and don't do anything for him, you haven't done what's right. You know, words can be cheap, can't they? But we are to put our words into reality. We not only pray for them, and God wants us to pray for them. Prayer does things that nothing else in the world can do. I don't know how many missionaries I've known that were on our prayer list and would say, there are times that the Holy Spirit just fills me with the knowledge at that moment someone is praying for me. The Holy Spirit does that kind of thing. And we certainly want to pray for those people. And I hope we don't just pray as we prayed today, but I hope in all of your private prayer life that you are lifting them up. You are asking God to provide the means to meet their needs, as you're asking God to show them His awesome love through brothers and sisters in Christ, that they'll be encouraged. I hope that you'll be praying that those that may not have a faith in Christ will come to have a faith through all of this. You know, when the facade and facetiousness of life is pared away from us. You know, if you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, suddenly all the stuff that seemed to matter don't matter, do they? And so it is with material things when they all fall away. So pray that revival will come out of this. Pray that people be saved through this. But we also need to take whatever steps we can to provide real care for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Believers, for you and I, God's word is the measure of truth. And you know that? I've read a lot of philosophers and I've read a lot of writers, but in the end, God's word is the measure of truth. And the word is very clear. It tells us to be helpful to those in need. Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burden. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Whomever we encounter with a burden, we are to carry that burden. And the people in Texas need somebody to help them with their burden. You may not be able to give $1 million like the president did. I could write a check for $1 million if I wanted to. The other thing is that Bobby Clark could be sending my plate lunch to the jail. I remember years ago a pastor was trying to raise money for a new church building. A wonderful pastor. And the church needed it. And there was a little boy in his church. This was back in the mountains. There was a little boy in his church that had been saving his money for a new wagon, one of those red riders that all those kids wanted. And that little boy heard a sermon one Sunday, and the following Sunday he came with a mason jar full of pennies and quarters and dimes and nickels. I think he had made them by picking up Coca-Cola bottles when you could do that years ago. And he gave that gift to the church for the new building. Now, there were people in that church, I'm sure, that wrote large checks for which the pastor was grateful. But he told someone that of all the gifts that came in, that little boy's gift meant the most. Because that little boy had given up his dream for a greater dream. And that pastor kept that mason jar the rest of his life on his shelf. We may not be able to give a lot of money, but I trust we can give sacrificially, can't we? Jesus told a story about a king, a great ruler, who came into the temple at Jerusalem and with great fanfare laid down a golden crown and much wealth. Remember that story? And in the door came a poor widow who had only 2 mites, and that's less than a penny. All she had. And she laid them at the altar. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, man, that big shot that gave the money, that guy never missed it. He said, I tell you this, that poor widow gave more than all the king gave. That we give to the Lord's work all we truly can. The Lord commands us to help those in need. It tells us that as we sacrifice to help others, Hebrews, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We please the Lord. Think of that. We human beings, we punny little human beings, are able to please the Lord in the sacrificial sharing of our time, our prayers, and now our money. God in heaven knows our heart. God in heaven honors your faithfulness. And let me tell you some good news. Proverbs 22. That's not what it says. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. You know, the Bible's full of eternal principles. I want to give you one. The Lord will bless those who bless Him. And the way we bless Him is to be obedient to Him. The way we bless Him is to shape our life in the service of His kingdom. Let me tell you something. If you are indifferent to the needs of others, I don't care who they are. I don't care what the circumstances. If you are indifferent to the needs of others, I'll tell you one thing about your life. You do not know Jesus. There will be a man or a woman, a little boy or a little girl who through your showing of mercy will experience the mercy and care of the Lord. And the very thought of that ought to be enough blessing to your soul. Charles Stanley is one of my favorite preachers. I think maybe he's the only living favorite preacher I have, besides myself. But Charles Stanley said, obey God and leave the rest up to Him. That's true in any circumstances. It's true in this circumstance. Give up something. One meal, maybe. Hopefully more than that. That you might witness to the glory of Jesus' love to a suffering and hurting people. Let us not just pray for the Texans. Let us help them. And I really don't care how you've received this message today. It's the truth. It's not Gerald Sanders. It's God's truth. And I'm not in the business of getting you to like me. I hope you do. I experience love here like I never experienced here before. But my primary calling to you is to speak the truth of God. Blessed are the merciful. You want mercy from God? All for your sins as well, but do you want mercy for God in times of trouble? Then show mercy to people who are having troubled times. You are God's royal instruments. Did you know that? Lakeview Church is a part of His chosen people. And we live to His glory and honor, right? bless others in the name of the Lord, and he will bless you. That principle applies everywhere. To forgiving a person that's done you wrong, or giving money to a person in need. That's the truth. Amen.